Hey Gamecocks, this episode is brought to you by Tailgate State. These guys deliver unique designs with fans in mind that you simply cannot find anywhere else. Tailgate State offers polos, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, and more with new designs dropping weekly. The best part is that for every item purchased, Tailgate State donates $1 to the corresponding school's NIL collective so you can get involved with the NIL movement, all while looking great. Get ready for game day the best way. Just go to tailgatestateandco.com. Use code GAMECOX10, that's COX, for 10% off. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 148 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by Tailgate State. Go to tailgatestateandco.com. Use code GAMECOX10, that's COX, for 10% off. And how are we doing, Gamecock Nation? It really feels like spring has sprung. Fantastic weather outside. The kind of weather that makes you want to quit your job and just go out and drink some beer. It's just been so nice lately. I hope wherever you're listening that it has been too. If you're up in like Seattle or something, I hope I'm making you jealous because it certainly has been nice in my neck of the woods here. And getting ready for a very exciting, very big weekend in Gamecock country here. Just really got things firing on all cylinders this weekend. Very, very fun. So we're going to jump into all of that. Got baseball, got spring game, but first, let's look back at this last week in review. Pretty light report for the midweek. Not a whole lot of scores going on, not a lot of games going on, rather, but do have two to report here. Tuesday, softball unfortunately lost to the upstate team 5-4. And then on Thursday, Equestrian unfortunately took the L to Auburn. But that's largely it. I know as I'm recording right now, there is men's tennis in action. Shout out men's tennis real quick. They are having a pretty nice season. I think I saw their last ranking was number 9. I think they got as high as 5 in the country. So they're playing Texas A&M, and hopefully those guys really stick it to them because, you know, screw the Aggies. Really annoying. But I will tell you one team that was in action this past Tuesday, and that was our baseball team at home against USC Upstate. And while it wasn't the butt-whooping we saw last time these two teams played, it was still a very nice night for the Gamecocks as the guys got the win 7-2 in really what felt like a pretty comfortable game for the most part. You know, there were moments where you're like, huh, like, this game isn't quite out of reach, right? This game isn't quite there. And USC Upstate is having a fine season in their own right, in their own conference. But when it's all said and done, I'll take a 7-2 win any day of the week. But things got started right away in this one with Dylan Brewer and Ethan Petrie launching solo home runs in the bottom of the first. Shout out Dylan Brewer. I mean, he has really gotten things going. I feel like the last, what, 2-3 weeks or so. And when he is hitting, it really makes this lineup very, very potent. You kind of feel like that he's one of the guys that when he goes, the rest of the team tends to follow as well. Just someone you, if you can get that extra bit of offense from, just makes it all the more sweeter. But Ethan Petrie, my goodness, he is simply not human. I am convinced that he is not from this planet, and that is the only explanation for what we are seeing from this kid. From this freshman. He's a freshman. He was SEC Player of the Week last week. He's been Freshman of the Week a couple of times. He's launching home runs left and right, making incredible plays out in the field. The kid's an animal. He is an absolute animal. And, you know, sometimes you see freshmen come in and they have a nice start to the season, and then things start to slow down for them when they come into SEC play, going against better pitching. And when that happens, you just kind of got to weather the storm and then let them try to get back into it. I have not seen that from Petrie this year. If anything, he's gotten better as the year has gone on. It is very, very impressive, to say the least, and very, very fun to watch. But, you know, after a hot start to this game, the guy settled in well. And really, the story of this game is just the great discipline at the plate that these guys had. They drew a lot of walks, and in fact, four of the seven runs that South Carolina scored were walked in. The guys got the bases loaded in the third and the fourth inning and just were able to stay patient enough at the plate that so many runs were walked in. And really, I guess in both of those instances where the bases were juiced, There wasn't that huge hit, right? Like, there wasn't that bases clearing double or something like that that you were hoping for. But the thing is, the guys didn't need to swing it a lot of pitches. They were disciplined enough to get their runs in and were not going to let several subpar relievers from upstate beat them. They were not going to swing at bad pitches. They were going to make upstate pitch to contact. And until that happened, they were going to score in whichever way it was. Guy gets hit, get on base, get a walk, guy scores. It was really a beautiful thing. It was like death by a thousand cuts. But Matthew Becker was the opener. He went two innings and got the win. And after him was a small army of relievers, including Jerzenbeck, Proctor, Sweat, Austin, Hicks, and more. And what was nice about this, and Mark Kingston made note of this too, was that nobody pitched a lot of innings. You know, Matthew Becker went two. I think Jerzenbeck went two as well. And then really the rest of the way, I think it was one at the most. So what that does is it means everybody's available for this weekend. And I'm going to get into that in a second here. But you didn't have anyone who's not going to be unavailable because he went four innings, five innings. So obviously that's by design, but the fact that it was executed so well by the guys who came in really is a testament to the bullpen here. Player highlights for y'all: man of the hour, man of the month, man of the year, Ethan Petrie, 3-for-5 with one RBI. Dylan Brewer, 2-for-5 with one RBI. And Cole Messina, 1-for-3 with one RBI. So next up for Carolina is a weekend series this weekend against Vanderbilt in Nashville. Vandy is currently ranked 4th in the country according to D1 Baseball. So, you know, like, it's not a surprise that so many SEC teams are highly ranked. And it's really not a surprise that Vanderbilt is highly ranked. They have developed a very good program over there. It's just, really, there is no rest here for South Carolina, coming off the two games last week against LSU, the number one team, now going to Vanderbilt, who is currently 27-6 overall, 11-1 in conference. Their first conference loss was actually this last weekend, so maybe they're loosening up a little bit. I don't know. But from what I can tell, you know, their rotation is very solid. All three starters having ERAs under 3.5, the top two guys under 3, and the lineup looks pretty balanced as well, right? I mean, 4th-ranked team in the country, shocker, they have good pitching and good hitting. So for the Gamecocks, our rotation this weekend is Friday, Will Sanders, Saturday, Jack Mahoney, and Sunday is TBA. And that's really because there was no major update on the Noah Hall situation. Still seems like he is week to week. But I mean, when I first heard that, I was like, okay, that's like a 2 week type of deal, maybe three. This seems like it's going to be more than a couple. This seems like this could be, I mean, he's already been out two series now. This seems like he could miss maybe another two, maybe even more series just to get back. So this feels like this is going to be the rotation, Sanders, Mahoney, and then TBA until we get Hall back. So my crow to the series here, and it's really because this is a tough task. You know, you're going on the road against a very good team. It's going to be a big-time environment. You know, this is what Vanderbilt fans have, right? They don't have football because they stink. Basketball is whatever, and they play in an airport hangar, airline hangar, and they have a Vandy Whistler. They have a dude that whistles. This is just their thing. This is what they live for, big baseball moments to annoy the visiting fans. And obviously, again, you're without Noah Hall. So you also got to look at it, though, right? We have a good team, and we just stood toe-to-toe with the top team in the country. So our clubhouse, the guys in there, should not be intimidated whatsoever, right? So my crow to the series here, it's falling all on the shoulders of Will Sanders and Jack Mahoney. They need to shine. Who knows who we're going to see Sunday? A lot of it obviously will depend on how the first two games go, but really any way you slice it, you're going to be shorthanded. So as long as Noah is out, Will and Jack have to step up and have top performances. And look, even in this series, if they end up with a no decision, they cannot exit the game early, and they need to make sure that they're on their A game and keep the team in position to win when they exit. And really, if you ask me, it's got to be like six plus innings, because with Sunday potentially being, you know, a type of bullpen game, you're going to need to keep as many fresh arms as you can. So Will Sanders is a veteran. He's coming off that little reset. He looked good last week. Mahoney looked pretty good last week too, right? He needs to step his game up. So let's go. It's absolutely going to be a fun one. Buckle up. Let's go, Cox. But they are not the only team that is in action this weekend, as this Saturday at 7 p.m., it is the annual Garnet and Black spring game for the football team in Williams-Brice. And wow, it just feels good to talk about Gamecock football. Just even saying Williams-Brice into the mic just feels so good. And, you know, it's going to be awesome to see the team on the field again. I don't care that it's effectively a scrimmage. I don't care that the game doesn't count. I don't care that it's against our own team. It's just fun to watch. And it's really cool to see what the university is doing, building the whole day around the night spring game. I saw they had a fun run earlier in the day. I think it's called like the Cocky Trot or something. They're having the fireworks show after the game. It's unfortunate that they couldn't tie it in with a home baseball game, but nevertheless, it's an afternoon game, so you can watch that and then drive on over to Williams-Brice or watch it at a bar nearby, TLC, who knows. But, you know, let's talk about during the game, right? I mean, obviously, things are going to be pretty vanilla. Shane Beamer said as much in his recent press conference, where you're going to take it relatively easy. You're not going to open up the playbook fully. I'm sure he's doing it with teams that were playing this year. He was saying that, you know, we're going to be on TV. You can record us. You don't want to give your opponents anything more than you have to. So don't really read too much into it, right? But it's still fun to catch glimpses and see who has developed since we last saw them, welcoming guys and all that jazz. Also, this is a massive recruiting weekend. I mean, the list is seriously way too long to dive into, but there's targets from the class of 2024, 2025, even a couple guys from 2026 coming by for this game. It's going to be a full court press recruiting effort for these guys. Beamer was talking about he loves that the game is at night because it gives them a whole day with the recruits. They can see the players, their families can tour, they can see what's going on around the stadium, all that. So I'm all for the night game for multiple reasons. I think they need to keep it as such if at all possible, but it's a huge weekend on multiple fronts here. But I did jot down a couple of things that I am looking for, and so let's go through them. I got my top five things that I am watching for in the spring game. Number one, Dowell Loggins offense. I mean, this is probably the storyline and thing that we are all looking out for and excited for during this game. It was, without a doubt, the biggest headline of the offseason. So are we really going to see anything in this game to shed light on what we'll see in the fall? That's the big question, right? I'd keep an eye on the formations that are run in this game, right? Like, are we mixing it up a lot? Are we running out of only a couple? I'm sure there's going to be those nuances, right, where you're subbing in different guys and guys are off the line in different ways. But how does it look, right? Like, what's the look and feel of the offense? Is there any difference of a pace that is noticeable, right? Are we going a little faster, right? Does it feel like we're going faster than we've seen in the past? And will Dowell and Shane be willing to demonstrate the deep ball more so than we've seen in the last couple of spring games? I remember last spring, it was basically just a run every play, which is what you do when you're essentially practicing. You want to make sure you got those things down. But Shane wants to push the ball more, and I think Dowell wants to push the ball more. So are we going to see a little bit more of the air attack? I think it's going to be interesting to watch just in general to see if there is anything that we can pick up on that's different. Like, I doubt there is something that jumps off the page, given it's the spring, but nonetheless, that's the top thing to keep an eye out for. Number two, the running backs. This is a big area of intrigue and slight concern, really, from a depth perspective here, right? But all signs this spring have been pointing to Dekarion Joyner moving to running back and having done so pretty seamlessly. So I want to see this for myself Saturday night. I mean, DK has all the tools to become an effective runner. You think of his time at Carolina, and it's kind of, maybe it has all built to this. He moves to wide receiver. So what did he learn being a wide receiver? He learned pass-catching skills, how to read coverages, and blocking on the outside. Ball security. He plays special teams. Blocking. Ball security. Communication. He's played quarterback. Reading defenses. Reading the coverage. Trying to decipher what the front seven is going to do. Communicating with the offensive line. Knowing the offensive line's blocking assignments. So the transition to running back almost feels like a natural one. He's electric with the ball in his hands. Anytime he gets the ball, it feels like good things happen. He's been there. He's experienced. Veteran guy. Could be very interesting to see how he does this year, and I think the spring could be a glimpse into that, and it could be one heck of a combo for us. Also, I want to see what kind of runner Mario Anderson is. You know, coming in, transferring from a lower level, was supposed to come in as like a bruiser, violent type of runner. Do we see that at play, right? And then also, is there another running back who shines in this game that maybe we haven't thought of so much, right? Maybe Nathan Harris-Wainick has a nice night and becomes a name to remember. You never know. That's the beauty of the spring game. Number three here, edge rushers. This is another area of concern for me, for this team, because really, outside of Jordan Burch, get out of here. Jordan Strawn, excuse me. Jordan Burch, get out of here. Where are you, Oregon? Jordan Strawn. Outside of Jordan Strawn, there is very little proven production because of guys like Burch leaving. So do we see someone like Terrell Dawkins flash? Maybe Desmond, right? Is there someone who's going to put some of these concerns at ease in the spring game? Number four, the tight ends. I mean, this group is completely new from last year. So this is literally the first time we're seeing these guys in a Carolina uniform. So As vanilla as the offense might be Saturday night, I want to see Trey Knox and Josh Simon making plays for myself. Also, shout out to Connor Cox. No relation, but from one Cox to another, I hope he gets some playing time. Also, if you're listening to this, you're welcome on the show anytime. And then number five, the defensive backs. Because outside of Marcellus Dial and O'Donnell Fortune, there's question marks out there. Not really at safety, but at nickel, at corner. So I want to see who is going out there and getting a lot of playing time. I know there's a couple of minor injuries in this group that could keep a couple of guys out. But is there going to be someone who steps up and performs well? That's a name to remember that maybe we hear throughout the summer as someone who stepped up into that number three role or something like that. But, you know, overall for this game, it's just great to be back out there. I mean, we know as fans, it's just a fun day. You get to play scout and coach for a night where there's really nothing at stake. And for the players, it's definitely a reward after the spring practices and all the work they go through. So just a fun time to welcome in new players to the Carolina community, really. I'm excited to see what the team brings to the field, and we'll be unpacking it with y'all next episode. And with that, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.